Racism, journalism, hypnotism, terrorism. Where's the wisdom? They attacked the nations in Africa, made them catch their man-made AIDS with polio vaccinations, and they drive their Mitsubishis. Belief in mystic genius and watching TV distracts us from another Lisbon treaty. Planet permissions, this planet's position, brainwashed with religion to accept their fascist decisions. People panicking, no paladin, no patron saint, battling to stay awake, pineal gland cluttered by what's in our water as a Celtic warrior, breaking every barrier. I was surprised when I realized if you believe a lie, then you can fill a lie detector like an actor in a part. Society's a stage, and the masters of the art are the laughter in the dark. Rest assured, we will not be terrorized, and this revolution will not be televised. Was Lucifer for Jupiter? It's safe to say that many men have been murdered, including William Cooper for gritting their teeth and killing the seeds of evil. These people scattered on the compound of false religious belief. It's not gonna stop by watching Top of the Pops. We need to bring change to this establishment, but not with the trunk of a box, cause the ones at the top that are calling the shots think they've got it all locked. But my passion is burning like a Molotov cocktail, and my will to fight is still strong as an ox. Honest to God, habits make a mind state. As you cut jobs and raise drug prices, it raises the crime rate. Freedom of speech means I can teach about the priest's reason to preach a fallacy that has me breathing the leaf of tobacco plants. But the truth is, there shouldn't be a they controlling each other. That's made the mess we see today.
I still have a dream to see past the sickness and know what to really be free is. I still have a dream. I know you can't see this, but people, you got to believe it. I still have a dream. The secrets to know what to really be free is, so be it. I still have a dream. This nation will rise up.
Global terror is here, but we're all blinded. Chameleon governments hold info, so we don't know they're behind it. Bright media lights shine, and all of our eyes run the edge. Exaggerate the problems of mankind. Now there's violence around us, no escaping its finders. Rebellion, martial law, and then they'll appoint us. Got a pain in my leg, must be my FEMA. Black blood being spilled over
Oscar Mary Lima.
Can we just sit back and let this all happen? Like guards at the gate that got caught out napping. I invented a cure for cancer using radio waves, replacing chemical placebos with herbal remedies. Who let the dogs out? It turned into swine flu. It wasn't on the news, cause it wasn't supposed to. This is expression, revolutionary lyrical art. I'm Irish through and through, and I've got fire in my heart. I'm a soldier, I told you, bend you, then fold you. Knowledge is my burden, got a lot on my shoulders. Don't shoot the messenger, stay away, I'm telling you. Listen if you like, but I'm not gonna yell at you. Blinded with money, I'm going green with envy. Thoughts in this corporate world, fucking torment you. Do you sometimes feel weak and empty? Do you think TV is there to help you? Working, sleeping, drinking, but nobody's living. Lab rats in the maze is the life we've been given. Hold up, I think I'm gonna sneeze. Zeitgeist, did I say zeitgeist? Oops, there, I said it twice, nice. Yeah, this is a prank. My name is George Shank, and I work at the bank. I'll tell you everything, then I gotta catch a flight. I want this all in the open, in plain sight.
I still have a dream to see past the secrets and know what to really be free is. I still have a dream. I know you can't see this, but people, you got to believe it. I still have a dream. The secrets to know what to really be free is, so be it. I still have a dream. This nation will rise up.
Cannabis places will rattle your cages. Truth like hot rocks burning holes in the pages. I'm working so hard, trying to change tomorrow. I'm a fucking revolutionary like I'm Che Guevara. They try to use statutes to catch you, but I cop the plea bargain on the gospel of Mark. Making me swear on the book that preaches equality. I came from the clay, so you can't put laws on me. 8,000 years of Celtic mythology. I demand an apology. This farce makes a mockery of me, my mind, and my spirituality. My words are just as valid as anyone's actually. So what is reality? Somebody challenge me. That's your reality, fine. Don't interrupt mine. We write for the message and not for what sells. Ancient Irish knowledge straight out of the Book of Kells.
The Irish people, inherently and historically, opposed to secret societies, the secret oaths, and the secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweigh the dangers which are cited to justify it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment.
Good evening.
And good evening and welcome to Out of the Bag. This is Sean Maguire live on People's Internet Radio. That's www.peoplesinternetradio.com, where we are seeking solutions. And I have a wonderful show lined up for you tonight because we have the return. Yeah, oh yes. Third time, I think, of Ollie Damagard, who is going to be espousing his truths, his research, all the work he does to, I suppose, really link into what's going on in this world. And he joins the dots very, very well. Just to quote from earlier, he humbly believes that he's now managed to solve one of the century's biggest murder mysteries. His extensive research has also revealed incredible links to other political events like the killing of JFK, John Lennon, Robert Kennedy, Che Guevara, Salvador Allende, Pablo Neruda, and many others, as well as the cold-blooded sinking of MS Estonia, taking almost 1,000 innocent lives. He is totally dedicated to revealing the New World Order's agenda, including false flag operations all over the world. And I'm really, really looking forward to speaking to Ollie, and I know he is online at the moment waiting to talk to me, but I have a couple of announcements first, which I want to get out of the way, or out of the bag, as they say. I tell you what, there's a couple of great events happening if you are in Dublin. The Fluoride Action Network have organised a fantastic gig at Whelan's Pub on Sunday the 28th of September at 8 p.m. Introducing Professor Paul Connett, Director of Fluoride Action Network. Now, Professor Paul Connett will be speaking, and he is an absolute mine of information on the fluoridation issue, and has definitely rocked a few boats since he has been putting his information out there. Now, it's going to be a night of not only information but also entertainment, and what better than the fabulous Keela. Keela are fantastic live. If you haven't heard them, get along to Whelan's Pub on the Sunday, the 28th of September at 8 p.m. because Keela are one of those bands. They mix trad and rock and all the rest of it together with a lot of Irish spoken word in their music. And it really is fantastic. Also on the bill is Richie Ross and Mogai, or Moggy. I'm not quite sure how to pronounce that. Not as famous as Keela, obviously, but get yourself along to have a listen to what entertainment they're going to be dishing out. The night is going to be hosted by Aidan Killian, the Irish comedian. He was on my show a couple of weeks ago with special guests Aisling Fitzgibbon, the girl against fluoride, and hot press journalist Adrienne Murphy. And of course, a man himself who's been working very hard this side of the water in Ireland, exposing the truth about fluoridation, Declan Waugh, will also be there. And tickets are available at the door and are €12 each. So that's the Fluoride Action Network gig at Whelan's Pub on Sunday the 28th of September at 8 p.m. So Aidan Killian's a busy man, because not only is he going to be hosting that show, he is also going to be hosting his own show. Well, obviously, it's his own show. Aidan Killian is going to be on the 1st of October in the Sugar Club. That's 8 Lower Leeson Street, just very, very near St. Stephen's Green, just the top of St. Stephen's Green. And he has a show that has absolutely wowed them in the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. It's called Jesus Versus Buddha, a 50-minute comedy show described as raw and stimulating, and has probably more ideas and philosophy crammed into it than 100 other shows put together. It's brimming, chaotic, digressive, and smart. Adrian has investigated the lives of Jesus and Buddha, compares their essence, and brings their words into today's world. A show for all teens, to pensioners, anarchists, to churchgoers, who laughed throughout his recent sold-out gigs at the 2014 Edinburgh Fringe Festival. So get along to the Sugar Club, and that is on the 1st of October, which unfortunately is a Wednesday night, so I'm sure most of you will be here. No, I'm joking. Get yourself along to the Sugar Club, and I can't be there because obviously I'll be manning the fort here, because next week on the 1st of October, I might as well give it a bit of a plug now, I'll be inviting back Hordur Torfason from Iceland back on my show to catch up on a few things and see what he's up to. And without further ado, we're going to move straight into the main crux of Out of the Bag. Ollie Damagard, are you with me?
I sure am.
Welcome back to Out of the Bag, Ollie.
Thank you so much, the punk poet.
The punk poet. Yeah, do you know what? He's a knackered punk poet at the moment, Ollie. Spent a few days, 4 or 5 days, in Manchester in England doing gigs there, and thought I could manage it, thought I was young, you know, all that type of stuff. And then this weekend just gone, I'm going to maybe mention it later, unless, of course, you stay to the end of the show, Ollie. I'm going to be mentioning that I was on a weekend course learning how to use scanner technology for healing all sorts of things. And if it's true, then we're talking the big C, and everything else that goes with it is possibly going to be cured by this amazing little device that I've been trained now in using. And Richard Cumbers, who was on my show not so long ago, he held the course, and they came from England and all over Ireland. And it was absolutely fantastic. And I'm now left with the device. I've been giving myself treatments all day. And one of the things I was warned is that it knackers you out, Ollie. So I'm here. I'm going to go to sleep and you can chat.
Well. I had a really interesting weekend as well. I just came back from the Open Mind Conference in Copenhagen. I was invited there as one of the key speakers together with your friend Max Egan.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it was amazing. There was Lars Schalk from West Germany, 9/11 expert, a financial expert, and there was Ingunn Sigurdsdottir from Norway, absolutely incredible woman, very, very brave, who is standing up. She and her boyfriend are standing up and trying to get out of the strangle, the grip of the state, you know. They've given up their passports. They've given up their rights as a citizen of Norway and Denmark, and they're giving up everything. And they created on the land where the house is, they created their own country called Niceland. And no, they're very beautiful, absolute stunning people. So brave.
I wonder if they know, Ollie, about Rob of the Family Page, who lives in Canada. He's been on my show before. I'd love to hook those two groups of people up together, because they're doing the very same thing by the sound of it.
There's more and more people popping up everywhere. We are a small group here in Spain, meeting every Sunday, talking about these things and how to get our power back and get out of the grip of the government. And so, beautiful times.
It is. Also, it is. The start of that would be if our different Garda security police forces, whatever they want to call the thugs, the people these days, They should be doing their job and really arresting these people that are making our lives hell.
It's just a matter of time, Sean.
I hope so. I really hope so.
Also, there was a beautiful professor, a Swedish professor called Ulla Johansson, who was talking a lot about different... he's a professor at Karolinska, the institute in Stockholm, about different, the impact that mobile phones and TVs and all these wireless things has on humanity and so on, as well as a man called Charles Shaw from the States. So it was a really, really interesting group.
It sounds really in-depth. It must have been quite a brainstorming session for the weekend.
It was, and it was just amazing. The feeling there was just, like, so uplifting and so, I tell you, I was just blown away. It was absolutely beautiful.
Fantastic. So, I don't know if you can answer this question, but obviously I'm asking a question that I would love to have asked to the guy talking about the Wi-Fi, etc. Is it possible, or did he find out? And don't worry if the answer is no, that you don't know, Ollie, because I'm going to be researching it myself as well. But the Wi-Fi TV signals, etc., of smart meters and all that, I wonder if it's possible, the question would be, I wonder if it's possible to change the frequencies on them to still do the job that they're meant to be doing, that are technologically advancing us, etc., but without damaging human beings. I mean, is there just a tweak and it could be perfect?
I have absolutely no idea, but I mean, when you look at the different divine frequencies in music and other things, if you could tune it into that, I mean, maybe that could just make it absolutely super.
It makes sense, but doesn't it?
It does, but I have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about.
No, same here. I just think that there's a solution to everything, and here on PIR, we look for them.
I think this is a really interesting point you make there. Do you know, if you want to, I can see if this professor Ulla Johansson, if he would like to come on your show, and maybe you could ask him directly.
Absolutely. It'd be wonderful, Ollie. That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Let me ask him. Let's see what happens.
Indeed. So, Ollie, we were going to join the dots on something else, not outside of your remit, but on shooters and individual marksmen, etc. Or were you going to go further tonight?
I'm not sure if your listeners know it, but I've spent like 30 years tracking down assassins, different teams of hit teams, mercenaries and so on that have been taking part of these major big conspiracies. It's and I managed to connect the dots between many of these major political hits like you mentioned here before, where it's not only the same power elite that are behind them, or the minority, as I call them, or the lightless, they call themselves the elite. But they've also used the same team of assassins for a long, long, long time. So it's incredible to see the same people pop up again and again and again.
Absolutely.
But one of the things that I've found lately that has just absolutely blown my mind is that for some reason I've been really interested in serial killers.
Oh, you still there, Ollie?
So, I am.
Oh, you just broke up then. You're interested in serial
killers as well. I have no idea really why I've been interested in this, but it's always the human mind has always fascinated me. I mean, on how can someone do things like that? It's just unreal. You know, I just can't get a grasp of it. And I think that is why, one of the reasons why I've been interested in trying to understand. But one of the things that I found is that it is absolutely incredible when you look at it. It seems to me that when they killed the last real president, elected president in the States, that was JFK in my opinion. I mean, all the rest of the president that has followed have been part, a new face of the same cabal that took over and very brutally murdered John F. Kennedy. It's the same killing machine that has been in place ever since and that is there to this very day, now with the front face Obama. But it's the exact same brutal power machine that took over and has stayed there ever since.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious that, you know, Bush just handed it over to Obama.
But when you see it, when you look at what happened after November 63, and in the history of the world, there are some very specific things that happened. The whole pop culture with the Beatles, and then all the rock bands that started there, that then went into the whole psychedelic era, and where the whole flower power hippie movement, all of these things started. At the same time, very parallel with this was the first, more or less, occurrences of serial killers, this phenomena called serial killers. And one of the things that I'm starting to understand now more and more is that we have been being fed lies about many different things in life, through media and through films and so on. And one of the things when you look at serial killers is that this thing called profiling is absolutely not true. We mm-hmm. have been told, or at least as far as I understand, most people have been told and think they understand serial killers, and they think that a serial killer will always look for the same type of, if it's women he's going for, it would be red-haired, 22 years old, looking very similar, and then that he will brutally kill them in an awful, awful way, and then leave the crime scene with some kind of signature, like a special type of knot on a rope or something that would be like his signature. But when you study real cases, I mean, there's quite a few, especially in the States. I mean, this is a phenomenon that has just escalated in the States. Mm. When you look at the big cases like Henry Lee Lucas or Ted Bundy or Otis Toole or people like that, this thing where they say that the profile, I also want to say that the same FBI people that came up with the whole concept of profiling are the same people that have been called in as experts in many of these big cases as well, where I feel that more the task have been more to help cover it up than help to find the real killer. And so you look at this profiling and you see that the different cases that, for instance, Ted Bundy or like Henry Lee Lucas have been sentenced for or have admitted to, like one of the things with these serial killers is that almost all of them have a very similar childhood. Hmm. They've had a very troubled childhood, you know, with abuse from an abusive father or something like that. There have been sexual abuse as well in some cases. But all of them, I would say more or less without exception, have been growing up very closely to some kind of military base in the States, often naval base or and many of their parents have been involved with military intelligence.
So do you think these children have been sort of taken on board of sort of MK Ultra type stuff, or do you just think it's the influence from their parents?
No, this is exactly it. This is the more, because I've been looking heavily into MK Ultra for years and years, mm. and these are the exact same army bases where they have done a lot of this exploration and development of MK Ultra. And when you see the behavior and the way they describe what is pushing them to commit these awful crimes, many times they have absolutely no recollection of the crime. They have this experience of voices inside their head telling them what to do. And it's almost like they say that the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. And one part of them is almost just like watching. But once you look at for one thing is that when it comes to serial killers, either they get away with mass murder, literally. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have cover from the absolute top within police and lawyers and judges. It's unreal what they get away with.
Yeah. Just to pull you up there, Ollie, there's a few questions going on in the chat room, and they're saying, was Jack the Ripper around in 1963? Did you say they started in, or you started?
No. Jack the Ripper was way
yeah, before. It was 1800. So
18, yeah, and that was actually three different people. It was but I can get into that. That was the whole thing.
I think it was a royal thing, wasn't it?
Sorry?
I think it was a royal thing, so I heard.
It was to cover up a royal scandal.
Yes.
And very interesting case, though. Very interesting.
Indeed. But what they're saying,
very connected to the Freemasonry rituals. These women were killed in Freemasonry rituals. But it was a group of women, of prostitutes, that was trying to blackmail the royal throne, because of the, I can get into that another time, but but here we're talking about something totally different. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, when you look at the CIA, the manuals of how to do assassinations or how to do hits close up and so on, one of the things in their own manual that has leaked out, I have it in my book, Coup d'etat in slow motion. You can find it on conspiracies.com. There's, especially in some of the earlier versions, there's this manual for the CIA, how to carry out assassinations. And one of the way they say is that if you, a very good way of committing these crimes are to use objects on the scene of the crime, because then you can access the victim without having weapons on you, and you can exit without having weapons on you, meaning that there's a bigger chance for you to get close to the victim. So the best thing when it comes up close, take something blunt and just knock them out. Or if you, or stab them with a screwdriver or anything you can find around there, or use a weapon. And the weapon that is recommended is a .22. small caliber, like 6 millimeters. But the reason for that is that if you have a more powerful gun, when you shoot somebody in the head, the probability of the bullet just entering and then exiting, just going straight through the skull, is quite big, meaning that the chance of killing the person is not 100%. But if you use a smaller caliber like the 22, what happens is the bullet is powerful enough to enter the skull, but then it will start ricocheting inside and accomplish maximum damage, and thus being the most efficient way of killing someone when it comes to headshots.
Well, thanks for telling us that, Ollie.
You're most welcome, Sean. I'm sorry with the gory details, but I'm just telling you. So when you look at these serial killers, I mean, you have these killing sprees, you know, loads of people getting killed. And then you have, they say that the profiling is, well, this Ted Bundy was looking for these, or Henry Lee Lucas or Otis Toole, special type of people they were aiming and so on. It's not correct at all. You see, the range of the victims is like from kids all the way up to people in their 70s and stuff. And then the very, very brutal murders, you know, with knives and awful stabbings and mutilations. But then many, many of them are close up, very clean hit with headshots, like 1, 2, 3 people, all of them eliminated with 22 caliber, 6 millimeters. And this keeps repeating and repeating. And when I look on other cases where they try to eliminate a person, often or sometimes they do it on a plane. Mm-hmm. Do you know the reason why they hit him when he's on an airline or something like that? Is because if they blow the plane up, then everyone on board could have been the target, you know? So there's this confusion. Where's the motive? Who were they aiming at? If you just shoot someone, it's very obvious that is the victim you're after. But here, we're looking at a spree of killings where nobody really understands who is behind it. And many of these people that have been knocked out with these headshots have been people that I would suggest could be competitors in the drug trade or in the pornographic trade, because there's a lot of awful things going on here with snuff movies and child prostitution, all of these things that are coming up to the surface now. So also, you will see that in the States, we're talking about the Bush family being very central in this whole shebang, all the way from way, way before the Kennedy assassination, his dad, Prescott Bush, his granddad, or the George Bush Sr.'s father, Prescott Bush, was one of the people that was very deeply involved in funding the Hitler war machine, very deeply involved with other people that were later part of the JFK assassination, importing Nazis from Germany.
I just can't believe the American people don't know this by now. A tiny bit of research and you get to know that. And then you know who your presidents have been since JFK, and now you know who Obama is. It's quite simple, isn't it?
It's very simple once you start seeing it. It's just very painful to wake up to the fact that you've been duped for such a long time. But the thing is that the Bush family have been very powerful, their whole actions, not only have they been as a president, but it's been in Texas, where Boy George was governor for quite a long time, and Florida, where Jeb has been, and in Los Angeles. These three states area are the major areas with connection to Chicago, the Chicago mob. So around Illinois there, these four, three plus a small part of Illinois, have been very central when it comes to the whole drug trading, where we're talking the Iran-Contras thing. You can see exactly these three states are the ones that are involved with Chicago as well. Also, when it comes to serial killers, these are the exact states where the exact same thing happened at the exact same time as the other type of actions that are surrounding the Bush family and the whole overtake of the states. And then when you look at, for instance, you have Henry Lee Lucas, who on his own account said that I've killed somewhere between 300 and 600 people. Okay, that mm-hmm. is a lot, I would say.
Yeah.
And then you have Boy George being governor in Texas. I mean, this guy did not pardon anyone on death row. This was the state where people got fried all the time. You know, even like old grandmothers with a very abusive husband who she killed in self-defense, he killed her as well. Then you have Henry Lee Lucas coming to Texas. What happens? He gets pardoned. He is the only one that got pardoned from or taken off death row, you know, with like 300 to 600 killings. What does that tell you? Then you have Otis Toole, who was working together with him. He's the only cannibal, self-admitted cannibal and serial killer as well. These two worked together. And he went to Florida, where he was taken off death row. There's another one, Ramirez, whatever his name was, the railroad killer.
Yeah.
He was in Mexico, you know, where there was no death sentence, and he escaped into Texas and surrendered himself. He said, I need to find a Texas Ranger to surrender to. He kept repeating that. And he was taken by in Texas, where he was guaranteed to be fried as well. And what happened? He got off as well. So what does that tell you?
It would tell me more if they got off with a pension.
But I tell you, these people do. I'm not talking about the serial killers, but I'm talking like other people in this. Do you know, we were talking about Operation 40 and so on.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Orlando Bosch. I mean, he was called Dr. Death. In my book, Coup d'etat in slow motion, I've got like page up and page down, page up, page down, page up, page down, page up, page down, with things that he was convicted of. I mean, we're talking like hits on a weekly basis. 1, 2, 3, 4, like this, blowing up planes, shooting bazookas, executing people right, left and center, being part of a group of assassins that was used. And then once, when he finally got caught, he was pardoned.
Yeah.
Guess who pardoned him? Who do you think pardoned him?
Go on.
George Bush Sr.
Of course.
You know? Mm. And this guy has got like, they have the Orlando Bosch Day in Miami. He's like a hero there in the exiled Cuban, or in some of these, Cuban, parts of Miami. There's even a statue of Nestor Izquierdo, who was the spotter in the Deltex building, being part of one of the shooting teams taking out JFK. Mm. You know, and Orlando Bosch, he was signing books and being treated like a hero from people around the...
That is totally Bush. Insane. That is totally insane, isn't it? That's like putting a statue up to Fred West or Myra Hindley.
I'm just pointing things out. Yeah. I'm just saying... There are always a logic to things, you know?
Yeah.
Why was he pardoned? Why this monster of a person, you know? Why was he the only one that was pardoned by Bush if it wasn't because he was covering his butt, you know, or wanted him off, you know, so they could use him more, or what? For some reason, he was protected. And Otis Toole as well.
So either they were doing a job, or they would be useful in the future to do a job for them.
We can only speculate.
Yeah.
But one of the things also, when you look at these serial killers like Ted Bundy and so on, they said like, whoa, he killed so many, blah, blah. Okay, you listen to the witnesses. This is what I always do. I go to a crime scene. I look at the evidence, the so-called evidence, especially before they start manipulating it. And then I listened to the witness. What did they see? And so on. And you will find on again and again and again that the look of the killer did not look anywhere near Ted Bundy. I mean, he was a good looking guy, but the witnesses in one place, they said, oh, he was like Latin looking, you know, with a long hair, fat hair, you know, really greasy. Did not look anything like Ted Bundy.
So you're saying that really he was honored with the, you know, attributed to certain killings, but he didn't do them.
He did, I definitely think he did some, mm-hmm. but it seems to me like most of these serial killers are part of teams, like 3-4 different people who carry them out.
Okay.
You know, and then one goes down for it.
Right, so that they can keep it going, basically.
They can keep it going. But we're back to the strategy of tension. Do you remember we were talking about that? That after the Second World War, they started the whole gladio movement in all the NATO countries. Mm-hmm. This was like a ghost army. And to enter NATO, you had to take part of this. And it was the NSC and the CIA that together created this whole thing. And the idea was that, a good idea, I think, you know, they were afraid of an invasion from the East at that time. I mean, Soviet Union, East Germany, these type of countries. So what they did was that they created like hundreds and hundreds of small cells of like 6 to 8 people. We're talking people with that had weapons, fuel, food, radio equipment, all of these type of things. But buried underground, and then so that all of these cells would be like sleeping, but in case the country would be invaded, these would be activated so that the king and the government or whoever of that country would be taken out, smuggled out of the country, taken to London, and from London they would then direct the whole resistance movement against the invaders with the army already in place. This is why this whole thing was also called Stay Behind. Every single NATO country had their own name for it, but the Swedish name of it was Stay Behind, that you left the army behind. Great idea. But then the threat from the East was when, it just turned out there was no real need for it. Yeah. So then they had this massive big army. We're talking like in Italy, it was more than 10,000 people involved. This massive big army of very violent right-wing people, most of them. So they had meetings and they came to a point where there's a thought, why don't we use them? You know, we can do something, we can use them. So what they did was they started what they called the strategy of tension. They started inflicting pain and fear into modern society to scare the crap out of people so that they would ask for more and more protection, more and more police surveillance, everything on this. So they, when you look into terror acts in, especially in, no, not especially, but if you look at in Europe, all of these like Baden-Meinhof, the train bombings in London, you had the Madrid bombings, you had the blowing up the train station in Bologna, you had the shootings in the supermarkets in Brussels, in Belgium. You had some of these massacres at football stadiums, and you will track it back to the same people. They have used different teams from the Gladio network to carry these things out.
Okay, so I see that you're saying that they're all connected, right? But does that mean the killings are connected? I mean, they seem to be so obscure. They seem to be so all over the place.
Are we talking about serial killers now?
Yeah.
Okay. But this is the whole thing. When you want to inflict fear into a society, what better way than hitting them from all different directions? And I would suggest the pattern I'm starting to see now, I need to look into this a lot more, but I'm starting to see a very clear pattern of that these serial killers might be part of this strategy of tension. When you see them, many of them have grown up very, very closely together, you know, just a mile down the road, or one stops and the other one takes over. They live just like a few miles from each other. They've gone to the same schools, mm-hmm. and very close to these army installations, yeah. these naval and the MK Ultra things. And also when you see that they're being taken, many times they're let off the hook again and again and again and again. You know, even though sometimes they beg to please keep me locked in. You know, if you let me go, I'll do it again. And they let them go. It's just unreal. And then when they take someone, he doesn't have a chance. Not at all. And you look into the way that they found him. You know, like Ted Bundy, you know, when he went down, the reason was because this sheriff, or he was a deputy who had very strange connections into